Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
If you have your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and open up to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. How do you say that in Spanish? Anybody know? Cuatro. How do you say it in French? Anybody know? French? I don't know it either. Yeah, that. Catch, right? It's like cut. Yeah, cuatro. All right, so that's Spanish, that's French. English, anybody? Yeah, that's it, four. Nice. All right, go to Hebrews 4. But before we start reading, I just have a question. I'm regretting doing this already. All right, so I just want to know how today went, all right? If it was like a one, just be like, yay. All right. If it was a two, like, yeah. If it's three, like, yeah. And if it's a four, be like, ah. So how is today? Yeah. All right. Very. Wow. It sounds like it was a good day. Praise Jesus. I was a little worried at first. I don't think I've ever had a migraine before, but I might just get one then. All right, so I have this weird thing that I do. I often confess stuff in front of people when I'm talking about stuff. But I just have a question. Have you ever hidden something you did wrong from your parents? No. I've never done anything wrong. And when I do, I always tell my parents. I always tell my parents. No. All right. So my question is, why? All right, I heard one answer. Love it. You're ashamed. What does that mean? When you are ashamed of something, that means you realize somebody else knows that you did something wrong. That's shame. Shame is, oh, they know that I did it wrong. All right? That's shame. Why else? Why else would we not tell our parents? Yeah. Okay. I'll deal with this one and then I'll come back. Yeah, absolutely. You know it's wrong. That's guilt. All right, that's guilt. When you internally recognize that you did something wrong, woo, you don't want that, right? Like, that's a heavy feeling, you know what I mean? It's like if you were playing a basketball game and you had the last opportunity to make a bucket to win the game, and you shoot, and the buzzer goes, and it doesn't go in. No. And you're like, oh, I messed up. Yeah, that's guilt, right? It's pretty heavy. That's real heavy. I heard the one up here. Love it. I don't want to get in trouble. Amen, right? Nobody wants to get in trouble. Right? Yeah. That's why I don't tell my parents. But see, here's the weird thing. Shame, guilt, a fear of punishment. You guys name the three big ones that I'm aware of. Fear, shame, and guilt. If you want to ruin a relationship, throw those in there. Throw those in there. Fear of punishment, shame, not wanting to be found out, guilt, internal process that you did something wrong. That absolutely wrecks relationships. Why? Because if you know that you broke the lamp and it's just a matter of time until your mom and dad find out, are you going to be hanging around your mom and dad? No. Your hope is that somehow they don't notice, or God is merciful and puts that lamp together. Please, Lord. Oh, so you run away, right? Or if you're an older sibling, you blame him. Yeah, all right, this is how it works, right? But listen, how hard is it to have a conversation with your mom and dad when you know you've messed up? It's super hard, right? The conversation isn't meaningful in any way, shape, or form. You're just kind of like, how's the weather? Right? Because I don't know what else to talk about. Because I just don't want to be found out. All right, so one time I was your guys' age, and I had an addiction to ice cream. All right? It was, okay, it still is. I am still addicted to ice cream. Well, I was like your age. My mom was working. It was in the middle of the summer, and I had lunch, and nobody was paying any attention. So I'm just like, all right, ice cream. Went to the freezer, grabbed the ice cream, scooped it out, put it in my bowl, ate it. Oh, it was delicious, right? And forgot about the box of ice cream on the counter. And I went to my room and just continued doing what I was doing, all right? I was probably playing with Legos or something. And then my mom comes home. And there's something you need to know about my mom. She has an addiction to ice cream. So she was furious, right? Like guns a-blazing. You know what that's like, right? Just picture your parental figure when you know they're going to blow up. Oh. This is her first move. Are you ready for her first move? You three, get over here! Who left the ice cream out? It is melted all over the counter. That one. Yeah, that's the little one, right? It was Matthew. It wasn't, yeah. I don't know anything. My mom didn't believe me. But I never confessed to the truth. She got so mad. You know what she did to us? She sent us to our rooms because that was like the worst punishment that ever existed. You mean I can't leave my room? And then smart alecky me would be like, what if I have to go to the bathroom? Then what are you going to do? Huh? You're going to ground me from going to the bathroom? You're going to have a bigger mess to clean up. Yeah. Okay, so here's the weird thing, right? Flash forward 10 years. 10 years. I am drying dishes. My mom is over here washing dishes. I'm just drying and drying, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it hits me. Guilt. Guilt. Are you kidding me? This is 10 years later. Guilt hits me, and I'm like, Mom, you remember when the ice cream was out? Are you still mad? Oh, thank goodness. It was me. I'm sorry. And she's like, yeah, I know. Right? Even though, like, she didn't deal with it then. But can you imagine living for 10 years and this little guilt over ice cream, of all things, is like right here in the back of my head. Like it's not at the forefront, so I'm thinking about it all the time, but it's still just present, so that I am aware that I have offended my parents and no longer have a perfect relationship with them. Now I have to confess something. That's not the only thing I ever did wrong. There was a lot more. A lot more. Like, remember that one time when my brother was really small? And we went to Dad and told him he pooped his piper. He pooped his diaper. We just put mud back there. Sorry, Mom. Okay, that's just two. I'm going to tell you, there's like thousands. All right? But here's the thing, right? They add up, don't they? And so when I'm dealing with my mom and dad, I'm not dealing with just ice cream. I'm not just dealing with putting mud in my brother's diaper and getting him in trouble while he's trying to get potty trained, right? No. There was like thousands upon thousands upon thousands of things right here in the back of my head that just start flowing everywhere. And now I see my mom and dad, and it's nothing but guilt and shame and fear, and I'd rather just not be there. Now, thankfully, we've dealt with all of them, all right? I think. If another one pops up, I'll confess it, all right? Now, I want you to think about your relationship with God. Okay? How many times have we done something to offend God? Yeah, too many to count. Same here. When Jesus came and he said, you know what, it's not enough not just to murder somebody, but if you like are angry at somebody in your heart, it's like murder. That pretty much just did me in, right? I got nothing, all right? Because every single time that I've gotten angry at somebody over something stupid, oh my goodness, I'm carrying around this guilt and this shame and this fear, and it's like this giant weight on my shoulders, and I can't stand to be in the presence of a holy God because I've done so many things wrong to offend him. Remember what Peter did this morning when he realized that Jesus was the goat? Yes, sir. Yeah, what did he do? Or are you just agreeing to Jesus being the goat? Yes, sir. Yeah, you heard the second half. All right. Peter fell on his knees and said, get away from me. I can't be in your presence, Jesus, for I'm a sinful man. When Isaiah went into the presence of God, he says, woe is me, I'm going to die, for I am a man of unclean lips. He said some things he shouldn't have. And he says, I might as well just die in being in your presence. When all of Israel gathered at a mountain where God appeared in glowing light, there were like a million people all seeing the glory of God at once, and all the people but one turned their back and said, I can't see God. It's too frightening because I have guilt, I have shame, and I am afraid of the punishment. And so their relationship with God was never the same. But God, being rich in mercy, he did something. He provided a priest. He provided a priest, okay? What is a priest? Great question. I think I have the slide up here. Or I don't. Either way, I'm going to go. What's a priest? See, a priest is someone who goes between God and people. And he deals with the guilt, the shame, and the fear. How does he do that? In the Old Testament, this is what he did, okay? He would be in front of the people. He'd give a blessing over the people. He'd clean himself, clean himself, clean himself, get pure, get pure, get pure, put on the special clothes, do the special things, do the oil, clean this, take a perfect lamb, sacrifice the lamb, and say, that lamb carries all the guilt, all the shame, all the fear of punishment of all of Israel, and I'm going to kill it. And he sacrificed it to God. And so the priest was responsible for keeping the relationship with God pure. Why? Because it's only a pure relationship, a pure person, who can have a relationship with God. God valued relationship so much. He prepared a way for us to have relationship, even though we just kept messing up. Every single year, a sacrifice would be made for all of Israel. Every single day, if you had a known sin, you would make a sacrifice to appease God, to deal with the guilt and the shame. Can you imagine today sacrificing an animal every single time you knew you messed up? It's pretty gross, right? Yes. Every animal would be extinct. That is accurate, at least in my life. But that's what happens in an Old Testament system where you don't have a perfect priest and a perfect sacrifice. So God, knowing fully what he was going to do, dealt with this issue once for all. He dealt with this issue once for all. All right? So that's why we go to Hebrews 4, and we're going to start in verse 14. Okay? So we're going to work slowly through this passage. It's not very long, but it is full of really good stuff. This is what it says. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, since we have the greatest high priest. Who is this high priest that the author of Hebrews is talking about? This is a Sunday school answer.
Jesus.
Yes. We have a great high priest. Why do we have a great high priest? He goes on to continue to say this. He says, who has ascended, that means he was low and he raised up to heaven. He is Jesus, the Son of God. God himself, the one and only begotten Son. Jesus, being God, is the great high priest. Because he is God, he can deal with our issues. Because he is God, he is perfect in every way and is the perfect sacrifice to deal with our guilt, our shame, and our fear. Nice. I don't even know if it's the right one. Oh, yeah. Sweet. Jesus is the perfect priest because he is fully God in every way. We can go to him and we're going to God. And because of that, we can have confidence. We can continue to believe that Jesus has restored the relationship between us and God. That's half. And not the half I want to focus on tonight. There's another half. Let me rephrase that. There's another fullness, another one. You see, Jesus is fully God, yes. He's also fully man. Why is this important to you? The passage continues. Let us, I already kind of went over that, hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. See, here's the problem. If our high priest is God, that was the problem in the first place. We couldn't go to God because he's just too good. but he's also fully human. I can go to a human. Can't you go to a human? Yeah. Some of us are like, no, I get that. And because he's human, I just love this word. I just love this word. Look at this word. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So God, Jesus is fully God and satisfies this perfection, one sacrifice for everyone at once. At the same time, he is fully man and he can empathize with our weaknesses. There's a really cool commercial that's going around. Maybe you've seen it. It's called He Gets Us. He Gets Us. It shows human beings in our triumphs. It shows us as human beings in our weaknesses, in our anger, in our unity. It shows us in all of these things. Jesus gets it because he left heaven, came down to earth, and experienced life. He experienced life. What kind of life did Jesus experience? My first thing is, what about his dad, Joseph? Most commentators believe that Joseph died before Jesus was 30. He went through death. There's this guy named Lazarus, Jesus' maybe best friend on earth. Guess what? He died. Jesus went through that. Jesus had a bunch of friends. You know what those friends did? They took off. They left him in his moment of need. Like he's about ready to go to the cross, and all of his friends run away. And they deny him. Do you know Jesus? No, I don't know Jesus. Because I don't want to get what he's getting. He's on his own now. Whew. You know what Jesus did? He went to a wedding, and he celebrated. He danced. He had a good time. You know Jesus, right? He sat down and ate meals with people, and he laughed. He laughed until he cried. Jesus experienced that. Jesus had friends. Jesus had brothers and sisters. Jesus went through school, training. He had a career. He was a carpenter for a while. Every day he had to get up and work. Jesus gets us. He's been through life. In Hebrews it says he was tempted in every way. Remember that time where you're just like, I gotta explode. I gotta explode. I'm just so angry right now. Jesus felt that too. Now, Jesus didn't sin. We often sin in those circumstances, right? Jesus was tempted to take the easy way out. If I just worship Satan, he's going to give me everything, the entire kingdom, and I won't have to go to the cross. It's the easy way out. He felt that insane pressure. Yet he did not sin. Every single temptation that you have ever experienced, Jesus also experienced. He gets us. He's seen the earth. He knows how hard it is to live a holy life on earth. When he was entering Jerusalem, he stood at the top of the hill and he wept over his people. I think I mentioned this earlier. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Another time he looked at all the people and he's like, they're chained. They're enslaved to the power of sin, and it broke his heart. Jesus sees you. and what you're going through right now. And he gets it. He understands. That's why Jesus is an absolutely incredible high priest, the best we can ever have. Because yes, he's fully God, and so he can actually deal with the problem that we have. But he's also fully human, and he gets us, and he empathizes with us. In fact, it becomes more than compassion. You see, compassion is having the feelings towards somebody else, right? Empathy is feeling it yourself. When you suffer, Jesus suffers with you. When you suffer, Jesus suffers with you. When you rejoice, Jesus rejoices with you. He gets you. When you feel lonely, he feels your pain. When you're just frustrated, he's been there. He feels it. He senses it. And he says, I'll take it. Give it to me. I'll deal with it. I'm the sheep. Give it to me. Let me have all of your struggles, all of your temptations. I'll even share with you in the joys. Lay them down on me. And so Jesus offers himself as the way that we can get to the Father. I'll deal with all of your sin. I'll deal with all of your shame. I'll deal with all of your guilt. I'll deal with all of your fear of punishment. He took the punishment. That punishment's over. Right? When you sin, Jesus is like, I took care of that. When you feel guilty, Jesus says, no, I'm going to lift you up. Remember Peter? He lifted him up. I'm giving you a new identity. When we're ashamed, he goes, I know, and I love you, for it was while you were still a sinner that I died for you. I knew what was going on, and I died. This needs. Jesus deals with our greatest needs. He empathizes with us. He is the perfect priest. He is the one who is able to keep the fellowship between us and God. And because he is the greatest priest, the author of Hebrews gives us three things that we need to do. The first, go to him. Go to Jesus. Approach him. Don't let your guilt, don't let your shame, don't let your fear of punishment get in the way. He's dealt with all three. There is no reason why we shouldn't be running to God. This was God's plan from the beginning, to have a relationship with you. So he dealt with everything that was keeping the relationship from happening. And so we have nothing left to hold us back. So go to Jesus. Spend time with him. He is God in flesh. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants what's best for you. Only good, even though we suffer for a time. That was the first thing. Approach, go to. The second one is confess. Confess. See, this is mercy. We confess because God is merciful. Get it off of your chest. Don't hide it anymore. Don't wait 10 years to admit that you messed up with the ice cream. That's 10 years that you can't get back. Confess it now. Confess it quickly. Go, Jesus, I sinned against you again. And you know what Jesus is going to do? It says in 1 John that Jesus is faithful to forgive. Why is he faithful to forgive? Because he's merciful. He gets us. He knows it's hard. And he loves us. And he's God, so he can take care of the problem. He's merciful. So confess. Keep it fresh every day. Lord Jesus, is there something in my heart that's keeping me from approaching you? And he'll remind you. All right? It's not a one-time thing where I just say, I'm a sinner, and then I'm done. No, no, no. Every single day, keep that relationship fresh. If I do something new against God, I'm going to go and I'm going to confess that against, I'm going to confess that to God. And he's not going to push me away. He's not. That time is over. He's not going to do that. He's merciful. The third one is his grace. God's grace. And that's for obedience. Grace is for obedience. See, Jesus gives us more than what we deserve. That's grace. He gives us more than what we deserve. He lavishes grace upon us. He gives us everything that we need to live a godly life. He gives us the Holy Spirit, God himself, in our inner being and unites us to him so that we can make the right decisions. Because without God, I can't make the right decisions. Even with God, I still sometimes make the wrong decisions. But he gives us everything that we need to live a righteous life. So he's going to be merciful because we've sinned, and then he's going to give you the power and the heart and remind you of truth so that you can actually walk the plan that he wants. And that way, your relationship continues to be intact. See, everything that God has done in being this great priest is to establish and maintain a relationship with him. That is his desire. He yearns for it. He longs for it. He just can't wait for the day for some of you to finally say, yes, Jesus, I want to walk with you. And for those of us who are, he doesn't want anything to get in the way, any single moment of the day. He wants us to be constantly with him, walking with him, receiving from him all the time. So that you can have all of God, all of the time with you wherever you go. Everything that's good about God with you all of the time. Helping you to do the right thing. Helping you to walk his way. Because Jesus is the great high priest, we got to go to him. We got to confess when we mess up. And we need to trust and receive and act on the grace that he gives us so that we can continue to walk in obedience with him. Obedience with God is a good thing. It's a good thing because it keeps fellowship with the God of heaven who longs and desires to have fellowship with you. Can you just picture that for a moment? The God of the universe, who's transcendent, who's so big, so perfect, so holy, is thinking about you. And what he's thinking is, I want a relationship with them. I want a relationship with you. And so he sent his son, fully God, fully man, to make that happen, to be our empathetic high priest.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.